Romans chapter 8, verse 31 says, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us?" Let's just stop there. You know, every time you hear God's word, every time you read the word of God, he's going to ask you a question. What do you say to these things? Every word that we've been hearing, because this is what Paul is doing. He's been writing. The book of Romans is about our righteousness. It's about what Christ has done. So he starts from chapter 1. He goes on to talk about that the evidence of God is all over the place. Amen. That no one will be with any excuse. That God has made, they are evidence. See, when you look at the things that people make, it is evidence that is an evidence of a maker, isn't it? when you see this, you know there's an artist, somebody who designed it. But you've never met anyone say, "I made the sun." Have you met anyone? But somebody made it. So all of the moon, the stars, and all the nature that you see, they are evidence, because you see evidence of somebody who made this pulpit. You know that this phone that you're holding is an evidence that somebody made it. And so the things that God has made, they are evidence. And so he begins to talk about us in terms of our flesh. Talks about law. You know, the laws that people had to fulfill in those days in order to be righteous, to be in the right standing with God. And then he goes on to say, but Christ. In fact, he talked about himself in Romans chapter 7. And he said that the things I would love to do, I can't do them. But the things that I do not want to do, those are the things I find myself doing. So there is a struggle between the flesh and the spirit. And then he ends, he said, thank God for the Lord Jesus. Amen. So what he's saying is that everything anchors on Christ, not on what I do, not on my effort. Everything has to be about what Christ has done. You see, even the things you do, you're able to do them because of what Christ has done. Nothing must proceed from you directly. It must all proceed from Christ. It must all be with Christ. The word of God is all about Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. And so he says, what shall we say? What would be your response to the fact that your sins have been paid for? What would be your response? What are the other things that he exchanged? He exchanged he took our poverty that we might become rich. He took the curses so that we might become blessed. He took our sins so we'll become righteous. He took our sickness that we might be healed. Hallelujah. Behold. So what shall we say to these things? One of the responses is that if God be for us, who can be against us? I like the way I think the Message translation puts it. Who can successfully be against you? Not just who, what? So if all of this evidence is there of what Christ has done, you have nothing to worry about. Amen. Hallelujah. Look at the next verse, verse 32. He who did not spare his own son. This is important. He's trying to describe to us the nature of God, the person of God, the power of God, the love of God, the glory of God, and the grace of God. You see, because in the redemption, what did God do? You know, he didn't spare his son for you. He gave him up in exchange, trading places. So if God, you see, what's the best gift that God has? His son. Because his son is like giving himself. You can't give more than yourself. So if he didn't spare his son, but what did he do with his son? He delivered him. Another translation says he gave him up. Gave him up. So God had to give Christ up. You know what it means? That is, Christ was with him. That Christ is his completion. They are complete, you know, individually in the Godhead. But, you know, they are in unity. So he had to release him. That's a big, big thing that we cannot even be able to fathom in this side of the world, of the age. Amen? So he said, deliver them up for us all. How shall he not? This is it. How shall he not, what? With him. Also freely give us what?
All things.
What would all things include?
Joy.
Joy. Peace. Provision. Protection. Love. A good home. A good marriage. Success in your studies. Success in your work, in your career. You know, what other things? You should be able to list all of those things. So it is, you see, God cannot withhold anything from you. If he's been able to release his son, why should I ever think that I will not get other things from him? Anything you are asking from God apart from Christ is minor. They are additions. So if somebody's been able to release, you see, the reason he's talking about this, he's talking about having faith in God for whatever thing. Because this is what your faith should be anchored on. It will actually be, you know, that's why the Bible uses the word, it said, evil heart of unbelief. When it comes to God, if you don't believe him, to him, he sees that there's something wrong with the heart. Because all the evidence is there. It's the same thing as people who don't want to accept that there is God. All the evidence is there, so there's something has to be wrong with their heart for you not to believe. So he's saying, look, he released Jesus. That's what we just celebrated at Easter. That's what we celebrate all the time. But you know, he's not just at Easter. He already released him. You know, once and for all, he's paid for our sins. If he did all that, why should you worry about your studies? Why should you worry about tomorrow? Why should you worry and say, maybe God doesn't want to give it to me. Maybe God is not hearing me. Maybe God is not listening to me. No, that's the wrong question. Hallelujah. The real question is, how can I access it? How can I get it? What God has made available to me. See, he didn't spare his son. Along with him, praise God, will give us freely all, say all things. You know, when he says freely, it means graciously. Graciously, that is, it is in his grace. And that's why we have faith. Faith is actually believing or receiving what God has given to you by grace. So this is how faith works. God gives everything by grace. So when you accept what he has given by grace, that is faith. So faith and grace, they have to meet. They have to come together. You know, God releases. Grace is God's part. Faith is what? Is our part. And guess what? God has also given you the faith to believe him. Praise God. I say praise God. And so we understand that all the things that God has made available are in, on Sunday, we're looking at the fact that he said, these things are written so that we may do what? We may believe. This is also, everything that is written is so that you will believe. It's almost like trying to make a case for you to believe. That's what the Word of God is doing. And so that has to be our predisposition to believe everything the Word of God says. To believe it, because it is the Word of God, and God cannot lie. He's not a man to lie. He's not the Son of Man to repent. Amen? To change his mind. He's not going to say, well, I was going to give you health yesterday, but guess what? Because you did so and so and so. No, it's not going to happen. Why? Because your sin has been what? Paid for. You've got to remember what is written. It's important. That's the exercise of faith that we are doing here in this world. You see, when we get to heaven, oh, glory, hallelujah, we will have faith automatically. There will be no person who would doubt God when we get to heaven. So the place we need faith is where? It's here. So I say, oh, this is talking about heaven. No, in heaven, no, there will be no doubter in heaven. They won't make it. And so it is for this earth. All that you are reading here, it is for us to live in this world. Praise God. So faith has to be our response. Our Christian walk is what we are response to what God has done, to what Christ has done. Hallelujah. Let's go. Let's look at that verse in the Amplified version. The Amplified. It says, "What then shall we say to all these things? If God is for us, who can successfully be against us?" Who? What's the answer? Nobody. Amen. So the next time you're worrying about something or somebody, what should you tell yourself? Nothing. You go, no one can successfully be against us. Verse 32. "He who did not spare even his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us what? All things." Amen. So it's the gift that God has given to us. And if you're given a gift, you know what can affect the person who's giving you a gift more? If you reject the gift, isn't it? You know, so the gift has been given. We are to receive it. And what did we say again was given to us when Christ died on the cross and rose from the grave? Eternal life. Amen. Yes, all the things again. Amen. What's the list? Blessings. What did you receive again?
Health.
Help. Forgive. That's why it says you can now come to the throne of grace to obtain mercy and grace for the time of need, to help. You now have help. You are no longer helpless. I want to reiterate this thing because they are our redemption benefits. What does Psalm 103 say? Psalm 103 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." See, David in the Old Testament, he knows these things. You know, God did not just become a merciful God. He's always been merciful. Amen. The mercy of God was unleashed in Christ. Amen. So the mercy of God is now overflowing because Christ came and died. But God is never changed. He's always been merciful. He's always been a healer. He told the people, he said, "I am the God that healeth thee." He is a healer always. But in the New Testament, after what Christ has done, the Bible says, "By his stripes you were healed." So now in Christ, you can have it in abundance. It is no longer something that comes and goes. Just the same thing. You know, the Holy Spirit has always been. And the Holy Spirit will come upon the people in the Old Testament, but he will leave. But Jesus said, when he comes, he will be with you for how? Forever. So what Christ has done, what the death and resurrection of Christ has done, has brought the fullness of God to revelation. And so we have access to the fullness of God. Amen. Oh, this is good. This is good. And so what we need is to believe. We need to believe. Say, "I believe." After all, we are believers. Amen. We are called believers. We are not called. Can you imagine someone say, "Oh, I just became a Christian. So now I'm a doubter." No, it doesn't go together. Being a Christian don't flow. A Christian and believer, because you're a Christian because you believe. These things are written that we might what?
Believe
that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And in believing, you will have what?
Eternal life.
You know, we read the Message translation says that you might have real and eternal life the way Christ personally lived it. So it's not, Jesus came here to live eternal life. So it's the way he lived that we live. If he lived triumph, anything that Jesus triumphed over, he triumphed over it because of the life that he had. Why do animals behave the way they behave? Because they have animal life. Animals are not the same as humans. We did not evolve. Oh, hallelujah. In fact, when Adam and Eve, when they sinned, you know, guess what they did? They devolved. If there's any word like that. Do you know that what the intellect we have in our human flesh now is less, far less, than the intellect that Adam and Eve had? Yep. Because this is in the fallen state. Our brain and all of that is in the fallen state. They were perfect. That's why when God brought all the animals to him, he began to give them names. Do you know what it takes to give 10 people names? You know, you don't have any name yet. You just want to invent a name by yourself. You were naming all the animals with ease, perfection, in the image and likeness of God. The state that humanity is now is far less. Glory to God. Oh, thank you, Lord. Oh, my God, thank you. So what was I saying before we died? You're enjoying it, amen. You know, so God has extended his grace to us. We've got to believe. And the way you see these things, to put your faith in God is, see, some people say, well, maybe God has been able to save us, but maybe healing is a different thing. Provision is a different thing. Do you know we should expect to be financially blessed? Because he said, along with him, he will give us all things that you need. And we're all of us, including myself, we've got to begin to believe for our finances. Enough of settling for the way it is. We've got to recalibrate our minds. And, you know, because sometimes we can say, and sometimes you speak against people who have money. I know people get, the fact that people make money in illicit ways does not mean there are no people who make their money in good means. Either. So if you focus on those who make it illicitly, you are saying the only way to make money is to be dubious. Because there's evidence around you of many people. In fact, you know there will be people who will say that you are rich. You didn't think like that. You are accusing all the rich people. There are people who are looking at you and say you are very rich. When they see the clothes you have, when they see the house you're living, when they see your TV, maybe you have 10, 2 TVs or whatever, you have all of these phones, they see your iPhone, say, oh, you are rich. And they say, I don't know how he got that phone. Maybe he stole money, you see. Because you need money to buy things. And you need money to serve God. But it is your heart towards money, how you make that money, and how you use it, that's what matters. But God gives us all things freely to enjoy. Why do you think that money should only go to the unbelievers? Why do you think that? No, it should be for the children of God. Amen. Same thing as healing. The children of God should be able to walk in health. So it's how we would do it. They say we have to believe. Say believe. And this involves renewing our minds. We renew our minds concerning these things. He will graciously give us what? All things. Thank you, Jesus. What do you say to these things? What do you say? Hallelujah. Romans 10. Romans 10. This is how we access those things. Everything that God has made available to us, salvation, and all other things that accompany salvation, every other thing. Romans 10, it says here, verse 8. Now he's telling them, he's talking about how to become righteous. If you read it, you know, it's still Romans we are reading. We said Romans 8, and then it goes on to tells them that God will give you the Holy Spirit, you know, and it said, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, if he dwells in you, that same Spirit is going to quicken. He will give life to your mortal body, because this body, you know, because we are in this fallen world, this body is also part of the, you know, it's a cursed world. So you will need the power of God to quicken this body. And, you know, some people say, well, you know, this is for the by and by. Yeah, the Holy Spirit is going to quicken those who are dead in Christ, going to raise them. But it's working now. It's not waiting till the time of resurrection to work. Because when we get to heaven, we will not need our bodies to be quickened. Everything is talking about is for now. Do you need life in your body? Oh, yes. So he says, what does he say? The word is where? It's near you, near you. And where is it? It's in your mouth and in your heart. So to receive what God has made available, all of the things that we've listed, many things that we've listed, the way to have it now is there has to be a heart and a mouth connection. So you've got to believe in your heart, and you've got to use your mouth. So he said, but he said it's not far. In fact, in the preceding verses, and he was actually quoting the Old Testament. You know, this is a broad teaching. He quoted Deuteronomy, he quoted Leviticus, because all of these things are linked. He's letting the people know that what that thing achieved in the Old Testament, it will achieve much more in the New Testament because of Christ. So he said, because he told them in the Old Testament, you don't need to go to heaven to go and bring God down to come and do anything for you. You don't need to go to heaven. Say, who are we going to send now? No, you don't. Who are we going to send? Or who are you going to call? Amen. Don't call Ghostbusters. Amen. You know, so he's saying, who are you going to send to help us go to God and try and get God to come and answer our prayers? Who are we going to get to go to God and come and heal our bodies? Who are you going to send to go to heaven to come and bring Christ down so that he can die for us? He's already done it. So what do we need to do now? The word is now. That is what? The word of faith, which we do what? We preach. The word you are to speak is the word that is preached. What you've been hearing since you've been coming to church, what you've been hearing these last few weeks, that's what must come out of your mouth. The word of faith. It has to be the word of faith. That is the word that is in line with the word of God. Not the word that the news media are saying. Do you know that? If you look at this is the work of the enemy. He wants us to speak every other word but the word of faith. Because he knows that when you speak the word of faith, you get the result. Do you know that people say, oh, I don't believe, you know, all that Christian thing, all that Jesus thing. But do you know people believe some very horrid things? You will have thought, this one is so simple. It's so easy for them to believe. But they would rather believe because it's the enemy. The Bible says the God of this world has done what? He's blinded their minds, not even their eyes. It's the mind that he blinded. Because if that mind could just look at it, they would know that it is true. Praise God. And so it talks about the heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. Verse 9, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, what will happen? You'll be saved. You mean just like that? Is it that simple? For you to be saved, to receive all that Jesus has done for you, all you have to do is what? Confess with your mouth, believe it in your heart, and you'll be saved. How powerful believing and confessing are. That's powerful stuff, isn't it? Yeah. Now, what will he give you along with this?
All things.
So how do you think you will get all the other things? Believing in your heart and confessing with your mouth. How do you think you get healed? Believing in your heart and confessing with your mouth. That's it. Because there cannot be a bigger condition for getting healed than for getting saved. It cannot be. Amen. Hallelujah. And in fact, if it's hard, then it's no longer grace. You know, you can imagine, I just send a message. I say, well, I don't know who the richest man in the world now is. And then you get a message from him. You know it's him. Or maybe FaceTime you. And you look at it. Oh, you know, some people, they will nearly crash. When they look at their phone and they see maybe Elon Musk. Ha! Elon Musk is calling me. But you don't, you have already been called by Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. But you see what happens in your mind? Your mind is like, oh, it's Jesus. But Elon Musk, you start rolling on the floor. You don't need the anointing. And then he says, well, I picked your name. I was scrolling through names on Facebook or whatever, and I picked your name. I'm going to give you £10 million sterling. And then after he says it, then he tells you, well, the only thing is, these are the things you've got to do. Then he lists 1,000 things that you have to do. What happens? It's not a gift. That is works. When it comes to what God does, it's based on what he has done. Praise God. So it's easy. It says you confess with your mouth, and you believe with your heart, then you'll be saved. That's it. We are, you see, many times we do the believing, but we don't confess enough. Many times we change what we say. You see, the word confession means to say the same thing. To say the same thing. You know, let's say Elon Musk, you know, just to say, I'm going to give you £10 million. And he says, all I need you to do is to say, Elon Musk will give me £10 million. You will say it 100 times. Amen. But when the Bible says, by his stripes, I am healed, and we say, as you say it, you only repeat after me. When you leave church, you don't say it anymore. You see, that is proof that you don't yet believe. You see, because when you say it and you keep saying it, it means you have believed in your heart. There has to be a heart-mouth connection for it to happen. There has to be. Praise God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. If you confess with your mouth, how simple and how easy. Let's not complicate it. Christianity is not complicated. It is easy. That's why Jesus said, come to me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden. I'm going to give you what? I'll give you. For my yoke is what?
Easy.
But he first said, take my yoke upon you. You know, when you hear the word yoke, yoke already talks about something heavy. But he said, my own. So if anybody is giving you anything that is heavy, it's not him. Praise God. Or either we're not believing the one that he says. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Thank you, Master. Said that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. But you know, I think the thing that affects us in other areas, maybe in your finances, in your health, and all the other areas, is that sometimes you just look at how you feel and what's in your bank account and all of those things. Then you say what you see. We stop saying what he says. Because confession, you know what confession, like I said, the word homologio, it means saying the same thing. You've got to say the same thing that God is saying. That's why you've got to watch out for the people you listen to a lot. Because there's a tendency for you to keep repeating the people you listen to. The programs you watch, that you dwell on in particular, the ones you dwell on, you will start speaking like them. Do you know words are spirit? Words are spirit. I'll prove it to you that words are spirit. You know, if somebody came to you and said, you are this, and they just say a negative word against you, you get angry. They didn't touch you. Why would you get angry? Because somebody spoke. Do you know how many people, how many wars have been started because of somebody's words? How many things, families that are against each other because of words? You remember words that somebody said to you when you were 3 years old, 4 years old. So that woman, when I was 4, I was trying to get some popcorn. And then she said this. Why? Because words are spirit. That's why Jesus said, the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. Confession. What you say. Say what God says, not what anybody. No, don't even say what you feel. Say what God says. At their times, you know, we say we've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You know, there will be times when you don't really feel righteous. But does it change the fact that you are the righteousness of God? No. So if you feel sick, does he stop the fact or change the fact that you've been healed? No, he doesn't. So how do you do to get back into the right state? Say confession. Hallelujah. This is a powerful thing that we need to get into. We need to get into saying what God has said. Confession also means to admit it. That is, what God has said is right. It is right. And is what will work in my life. Amen. Hallelujah. It also means to agree with it. Praise God. Say what the word says. From today, your words will change. Amen. Young people, children, you know, you need to start speaking the right words. You know, many times, it is very common today that people just use, these swear words. But you know how people start using swear words? It's from the homes, the things they listen to at home. Maybe they're at home, maybe the parents use just, you know the words I'm talking about. Okay, you don't. Amen. So they start using. And you know, I'm not saying it in a condemning way. I'm saying it because when I hear children, in fact, there are some people, there was a time I was in the gym. Yes, I do go to the gym. Amen. from time to time. And this guy was he was talking to somebody on the phone, and he was on. F. And he was condemning somebody to somebody. He's talking to, he said, this person is going on and on and on. And I'm telling you, almost every sentence, I had to get up and go. I'm not trying to be, self-righteous. You know, I stand around people that use it, but he was non-stop. How did he get into that? You know, he didn't realize what he was doing. Because he would never do it if he realized what he was doing. It's become second nature to him. That's how easy the wrong things can become second nature to you. So we've got to feed our hearts, feed our minds with the word of God. Amen. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Let me just close with this. Hebrews 4:14. It says, seeing then that we have what? Say, great high priest. Guess where Jesus is now? He's in heaven on the right hand of the Father. Jesus is now our high priest in heaven. And the book of Hebrews, we're going to be looking into this a lot before Pentecost. You know, Jesus is still around. I'm talking historically, when he raised from the dead, he stayed another 6 weeks. Yeah? About 40 days? 40 days. I think it was about 40 something days. And he was showing himself around to people. Lots of people saw him. You know, Paul listed all the people that said, the apostles, Peter, everyone, and he said, including myself, because on the way to Damascus, the Lord appeared to me. So he's saying about 500 people minimum saw Jesus during the time that he was raised from the dead. And then he told his disciples that they should wait until what? Pentecost. Pentecost is a Jewish festival. Everything, you see, Hebrews has been said to be the Leviticus of the New Testament. Because when you read everything, it keeps comparing. In fact, there's a lot of quotes from Leviticus. It quotes a lot of Leviticus because Leviticus is about the priesthood. What the priest does. You know, we talked about the priest who would lay hands on goats. He talked about it in the Hebrews. He said the blood of goats and bulls. And he said because the high priest has to have something to offer. He has to take blood. So Jesus too had to take something up to heaven. So Jesus is our high priest. Now, he's in heaven. What do you give to the high priest for him to present? This is what he's talking about. Seeing then means that you've got to recognize that you now have what? A high priest. Who has passed through the heavens? Who is ascended? Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our what? You see, his job is to present your confession to God. Because the high priest has to present something. So he is there in heaven, is waiting to hear you say what God has said. You say the same thing. That's what he's doing. And he says, if you hold firmly to it, hold fast. Don't change it. Don't let second. Why would somebody ask you to hold fast to something? Because there will be things that will be coming around you that will want to make you stop saying it. Otherwise, I won't ask you to hold fast to it. You won't hold fast to you won't have to be told to hold fast to your confession in heaven. 24/7, you'll be worshiping God. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hold fast your confession. Your confession is vital. Your confession is important to God. And I tell you what, everything that Jesus has paid for has become ours in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Go ahead and thank God for his word. Thank him for his word. Say, Father, thank you for your word. I believe everything that Christ has done for me, that he's paid for on the cross. Oh, kabrosikaya banda. I believe in my heart and I will continue to confess. I will hold fast to this confession, because I know I have a high priest who is listening in, who is presenting all the word of God that I speak before God. And that gives power to those words. The Spirit of God empowers those words to happen for me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, because all of our redemptive benefits, we will enjoy them. Peace, joy, love, health, in the name of Jesus, provision, protection, safety, and security belong to us. In the name of Jesus, Lord God, you will turn around every situation for our good. Thank you, Father. We give you glory. We give you praise. Oh, thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Hallelujah.